Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. This week, I'm continuing my series on immigration and the anti-ICE protests. The title for this program is Defending ICE. And this is no small issue. Our country is in a culture war. There are two worldviews in conflict. One group is saying that no one is illegal and that ICE should be dismantled. The other group is saying, no, we have borders and trespassers should be deported, starting with those trespassers who have committed crimes in America. But who is right and who is wrong? I mean, both groups can't be right, as if there's some sort of relativism. Even the left has abandoned relativism. An illegal immigrant can't stay and at the same time be deported. Another important question is, what is the moral basis for each position? Are people just arguing for a certain position because they feel that's the way it should be? Or is their position based on the greatest good for the greatest number of people, or whatever maximizes human happiness? Or is there some transcendent higher law of God that must be followed regardless of human feelings? The question I would ask any anti-ICE protester is, by what authority do you do these things? Luke chapter 20, verse 1. At least we could discuss the real issue, the authority of God and his revelation. Once you're on that subject, you can then lead the person down the path to whether or not they're ready to receive God's revelation concerning Christ as being the Savior. And I highly recommend that if you ever get into a social political discussion with someone, always flip the conversation over to the source of authority. Otherwise, you're going to be just talking past each other. You can never win an argument with someone who has a different source of authority. Now, in regard to this illegal immigration debate, this program is not primarily to convert anti-ICE protesters, but to help those in the Christian community who now may be questioning immigration enforcement because of these protesters. My purpose is to help the Christian have an apologetic answer for supporting ICE operations. Because like all false teachers, the rhetoric coming from these lawless ICE protesters is very deceiving. And in looking back at church history, the church fathers wrote against false teachers mainly to firm up the faithful more than to convert the false teachers. So let's begin with the clip I ended with last week. President Obama's pro-ICE, pro-deportation position back in 2010. And yes, in 2010, Barack Obama took the same position that Donald Trump is taking today. President Obama began his address to the nation by saying, quote, "Our task then is to make our nation's laws actually work, to shape a system that reflects our values as a nation of laws and a nation of immigrants. And that means being honest about the problem and getting past the false debates that divide the country rather than bring it together," unquote. And there certainly are many false debates. And then he said the following.
"There are those in the immigrants' rights community who have argued passionately that we should simply provide those who are illegally with legal status, or at least ignore the laws on the books and put an end to deportation until we have better laws. And often this argument is framed in moral terms. Why should we punish people who are just trying to earn a living? I recognize the sense of compassion that drives this argument. But I believe such an indiscriminate approach would be both unwise and unfair. It would suggest to those thinking about coming here illegally that there will be no repercussions for such a decision. And this could lead to a surge in more illegal immigration. And it would also ignore the millions of people around the world who are waiting in line to come here legally. Ultimately, our nation, like all nations, has the right and obligation to control its borders and set laws for residency and citizenship. And no matter how decent they are, no matter their reasons, the 11 million who broke these laws should be held accountable.
In two short paragraphs, President Obama did a masterful job in defending the pro-ICE moral position. First, he explained the position of the pro-illegal immigration community. Always define your opponent's position. President Obama explained that they're claiming we should give illegal immigrants legal status or at least ignore the laws on the books until they can get legal status, which is exactly what the Democrat Party did under the Biden administration. Furthermore, President Obama shared the moral argument being used by the pro-illegal immigrant community, the anti-ICE protesters, that we shouldn't punish people who are just trying to earn a living, as if that's the only reason these people are coming to America and there's no criminal activity. But then President Obama went on to explain why their position is wrong. First, it's unwise. Second, it's unjust. First, in being unwise, Obama was referring to the pragmatic aspect. The unwise part is what we've seen throughout the Biden administration. Tens of thousands of people in caravans coming across the border. President Obama understood that once foreigners know that anyone can come into America to live without consequence, people are going to charge the border, which happened over 4 years under Biden. Obama predicted, quote, this could lead to a surge in more illegal immigration. Obama knew that. The radical leftists in the Democrat Party also knew that. But that's exactly what they wanted. The Biden administration gave grants to leftist NGO groups to fund and facilitate these caravans. The Biden administration even created a phone app so that people coming across the border can easily sign up for asylum. Just show their app to the border agent and in you walk. Now, there's a lot of speculation concerning why the Democrats all of a sudden began to push for open borders, you know, rejecting the anti-illegal immigration stance of President Obama and then even Hillary Clinton back in 2010. Certainly, misguided compassion and naivety concerning human nature played a role in the Democrats supporting illegal immigration. But there's plenty of evidence that this was a political strategy to import new Democrat voters, to turn red states blue, especially states like Texas. Also, since congressional seats are apportioned according to state population, including citizens and illegals alike, the number of illegals in blue states gives Democrats at least 10 more seats in Congress. And there's also a historic precedent in the Democrats using illegal or immigration for political gain. After the Civil War, the Democrat Party was just about finished. They lost their moral authority. And as it were, there would never again be another Democrat elected to be president of the United States. But what saved the Democrat Party was all the immigration that happened from 1890 to 1924. The United States experienced a massive immigration surge with over 14.5 million immigrants entering the country. Now, the total population of America at that time was only 76 million. That means that 18% of the population at that time included new immigrants. And since these Europeans coming over loved the help that the Democrat Party was providing them, and since these Europeans tended to be more socialists, the Democrat Party was revived through immigration. And the Democrats never forgot that lesson. Would the Democrats win in Minnesota if it weren't for all of these Somalian immigrants? How do you think Ilhan Omar made it into Congress? Immigrants flipped Minnesota from being Republican to Democrat. Also, immigrants helped flip California from being Republican to Democrat. So all of a sudden, open borders becomes right for those who base right and wrong on personal gain. If illegal immigration grows the power of your party, and if you believe that the ideology of your party is right, then open borders also becomes right. But let's peel back the onion even a little bit further. It's not just about growing the power of a particular party. There are those who are dedicated Marxist ideologues who have more sinister motives for supporting illegal immigration. They just don't want party power. They want party power to completely overthrow and remake America, bringing in communism. And that's a real thing. Let's not be naive. There are those who want government totalitarianism so they can also live on a government check. Now, I don't want to go too far afield here, but last week there was a communist legislator in Italy who revealed exactly what the communist plan is there and also in the United States. This was a catching the left, saying the silent part out loud moment. The socialist Irene Montero said, quote, "I want to ask migrants and racialized people that they please don't leave us alone with so many retrograde right-wingers. And of course, we do want these migrants and these racialized people to vote. Of course we do. We've already achieved regularized status, legal papers, status regularization now already for these people. And now we're going either after full citizenship or after changing the law so that they can vote. I hope for the great replacement theory. I hope we can manage to sweep this country of retrograde right-wingers and racists and replace them with migrant people. With working people, of course. I want replacement to take place. Replacement of retrograde right-wingers. Replacement of racists. Replacement of scroungers, and that we manage to do it with the working people of this country, whatever skin color they may present, whether Chinese, black, brown, with all comrades, the working people of this country," unquote. Well, she's a Marxist, and she wants to use immigrants, and she needs immigrants to secure power for the Communist Party in Italy. Now, I'm not saying that everyone who shows up at these anti-ICE protests are doing so because they have ulterior Marxist motives. But Marxist nonprofit organizations are the main supporters of these ICE, anti-ICE rallies. So just be aware that there is an ideological agenda that skews these people's moral judgments in regard to illegal immigration. But back to President Obama's 2 points. First, open borders are unwise. It will flood the country with illegals. There will not be enough housing, not enough jobs for these people. They'll break our social welfare system. Criminals will enter. But the second point Barack Obama makes is that illegal immigration is unjust. So regardless of the pragmatic aspects, illegal immigration is a moral evil. Yes, some people are illegal, and it's morally wrong. To quote Obama, it would be unjust because it would be ignoring the millions of people around the world who are waiting in line to come here legally. So what's important to note here is that back in 2010, President Obama was saying that even for the non-criminal illegal aliens, these people are still unjust in coming here illegally. So think about this for a moment, about the selfishness of people who cut in line. those who believe they have the right to be a citizen of a foreign country before other people. Why? Well, just because of who they are. They have a right to go first. It doesn't matter if other people have filled out the paperwork to get U.S. citizenship or a green card. These line breakers believe they deserve to be in a country before others so that they can make money first. They're not only breaking the law of the land, but they're pushing aside others. In Job 24:4, they push aside the needy from the road. Also, what we're not hearing in the media is that to come to America, you don't have to apply for citizenship. You can simply apply for a green card. To do this, all you need is a sponsor, a relative, or a corporate sponsor. These immigrants could have easily called up one of these food processing plants or an agricultural company or a manufacturing company and asked for sponsorship. And if you have a green card and you want to become a citizen, all you have to do is join the military for 4 years. You get training, health benefits, housing, and pay. But just walking across the border and believing you're entitled to be in America is not what good people do. Would we do that? Would we go into China or Germany or Russia and demand that we have a right to be a citizen? I suppose the left would have no problem with that because they believe they should be able to do whatever they want to do. I mean, lawless people don't care about cutting in line. They do it all the time. Remember the satanic motto? Do what thou wilt. But if you do this, and if you think this way, don't be claiming like Hillary Clinton that you're operating on some sort of Christian moral principle. Now, there are those immigrants who were deceived by these NGOs and the Biden administration and the Biden phone app, being told that America is welcoming immigrants and all you have to do is apply for asylum. These leftist organizations and the Biden administration, they were actually breaking the law because there is not a single country in South America where asylum laws apply to those migrants. Migrants cannot apply for asylum on the basis of poverty or gang-related crimes in your home country because we have poverty in America and we also have gangs in America. The only basis for asylum is religious or political persecution. But for those immigrants who were deceived, there does need to be some compassion, even though they probably weren't deceived as much as we might imagine. They kind of knew these caravans were breaking the system and that this was unsustainable. But nevertheless, in the excitement and in the frenzy, people may have overlooked their better judgment. And compassion is exactly what the Trump administration and ICE is offering. A free flight home, housing, meals, and $2,600 cash. And to be put on the list for future citizenship. America naturalizes about 1 million immigrants every year. We are the most compassionate country in that regard. And apparently 2 million immigrants have taken the Trump administration up on this. And these tend to be the good and the honest immigrants who realize that they were deceived by these open border politicians and these organizations. These are the people we actually want to someday be in our country. Now, there's another 600,000 illegal criminals that ICE has had to arrest and deport, and that's a whole other story. The rest of the illegals, the 15 million that many of which have no asylum claim, they simply smuggled themselves across the border. They're probably hoping that if they wait long enough, the Democrats will be back in power and they will be given citizenship. Immigration lawyers on the left are telling these illegal immigrants that they're going to actually help them delay their deportation. I mean, last week, the Democrats even demanded that the immigration law be changed so that ICE must get warrants to arrest any illegal immigrant and every illegal immigrant must get a court case. And the Democrats know with 20 million illegal aliens in our country, that's going to be impossible. But let's get back to the moral question of illegal immigration. Last week, a reporter asked Mike Johnson, the Republican leader of the House, who, by the way, is a serious Christian. This reporter asked Johnson, Pope Leo has cited Matthew 25:35 to critique Donald Trump's mass deportation agenda. How would you respond to Pope Leo's using scripture? By the way, Matthew 25:35 is, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Now, it's kind of absurd that the Pope or anyone thinks that I was a stranger and you invited me in means a country should have open borders and welcome criminals, rapists, drug dealers, murderers. But still, this is one of the Bible texts being twisted to justify illegal immigration and open borders, so we have to address it. And Mike Johnson said he would post a response on social media, but for now he would give a quick summary. He went on to explain that borders and walls are biblical. From the Old Testament and the New, God has allowed us to set up our civil societies and have separate nations. Immigration is not something that's frowned upon in Scripture. In fact, it's welcomed. We're to welcome the sojourner and love our neighbor as ourselves. What's also important in the Bible is that assimilation is expected, anticipated, and proper. Then Johnson argued that there's a difference between God's law for the expectation of individuals within a society versus the expectation of government. Government is to maintain the stability of a society. That to welcome the stranger is really an admonition to the individual, not to civil authorities. Romans 13 says that civil authorities are God's agents to bring wrath, to punish wrongdoers. Sovereign borders are biblical and good and right. They're just, because it's not because we hate these people on the outside, it's because we love people on the inside. We should love our neighbor as ourselves, as individuals. But the civil authorities and the government has to maintain the law. That's biblical, it's right, it's just, and I'm happy to have this legal or lengthy debate with anybody anytime they want to. Quote Mike Johnson. Later that day, Johnson posted on his X account, The Christian Case for Border Security by Mike Johnson. It's a good piece. His main point is what Christians do need to argue from, the premise that God actually established nations and borders. God divided up the nations according to ethnicity, Genesis chapter 10. And he appointed the boundaries, Acts chapter 17. Because to truly support illegal immigration, that foundation has to be undermined. Only in a globalist, borderless world can nobody be illegal. But in the Bible, there is a much clearer and more direct refutation of illegal immigration that Mike Johnson didn't point out. People tend to want quick and easy answers. And I would quote the biblical text that prohibit foreigners from entering and occupying land belonging to other people, such as Psalm 79:1, O God, the nations have invaded your inheritance. Or Obadiah chapter 1, verse 11, foreigners entered his gate and cast lots for Jerusalem, and you too were one of them. Ezekiel 36:5, surely in the fire of my jealousy, I have spoken against the rest of the nations and against all Edom, who have appropriated my land for themselves as a possession with wholehearted joy and with scorn of soul. There are foreigners who have appropriated America for themselves. And all of the biblical prohibitions concerning moving boundaries apply to illegal immigration. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28, do not move the ancient boundaries which your fathers have set. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 14, you shall not move your neighbor's boundary mark, which your ancestors have set, in your inheritance, which you will inherit in the land that the Lord your God gives you to possess. Deuteronomy 27, 17, cursed is he who moves his neighbor's boundary mark. And all the people said, Amen. This is all about occupying land that doesn't belong to you or your people. And in the Old Testament, King David slew the marauding bands of foreigners who entered Israel illegally. 1 Kings 11, 2 Kings 6. Ancient Israel was the crossroad of the world. And there were constantly individuals and groups and gangs who would come into Israel claiming that they had a right to live there, as if it was their land just as much as the Jews, and it was even more their land. To go to the Bible, especially the Old Testament texts about doing no wrong to foreigners, to try to make the moral case that immigrants can just walk over the border and claim a right to be in America, is the wrong place to go. Because the Old Testament is all about stopping and judging these trespassers. It's somewhat humorous that these anti-ICE people are going to the Bible to support illegal immigration and open borders. It's absurd. It's like going to the Bible to prove homosexuality and same-sex marriage is morally acceptable to God. By the way, if you look at all of those texts about doing the foreigner or the stranger no wrong, such as Exodus chapter 22, verse 21, "You shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt." The point there is don't make them your slaves. Don't oppress them economically or socially. But in all of those texts, notice that they are identified as strangers and foreigners, which means those who stay temporarily. There is no mandate in any of these commands to make these foreigners citizens of Israel, but just to treat them right while they're with you temporarily. Just like it was never expected that the Jews would become citizens of Egypt. And this is completely overlooked by those who try to support illegal immigration by quoting Exodus 22, Leviticus 19, Ezekiel 22, or Jeremiah chapter 7. These texts are referencing temporary refuge. Granting citizenship is not included in the commands to not oppress foreigners. In fact, the command is not to incarcerate them and turn them into slaves to work your fields. Well, as usual, there's much more to be said here, but there's never enough time. That's a brief biblical defense of ICE, a defense that even Barack Obama made back in 2010. What has changed the moral position in America over the last 15 years is political expediency, combined with a new belief in human autonomy over the law of nature and nature's God. Leftist intellectuals are teaching in our universities that our traditional laws based on Christian values are oppressive and racist. And this is the growing lawlessness of the last days that Jesus spoke about. The church, God's people, need to restore moral clarity to America. And in the past, the informed Christian consensus, a biblically literate public, has saved America from chaos, insurrection, and all sorts of evils. Hence the reason for this podcast and many other good Christian podcasters who are addressing the same issue. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.